was the Halo Klosenberger Rebbe.
Tzadik Yisrael, yes, like a leaf in his arm to stop a gunshot wound from a Nazi. Yimach Shemo. But he was a courageous, courageous person. And again, you hear his personal story. You hear how such a person could rebuild after losing his wife and 11 children, so many family members, losing so many people who were mekusher to him. He was a fiercely, you know, optimistic person, and just a very courageous person with a burning desire to live, and he was able to live and to rebuild, which is unbelievable. Okay, so let's learn a Torah from the Rebbe, a Chanukah Torah from the Rebbe. I actually want to just be makdim. The sefer is called Shefa Chaim. We're going to learn Maimer Dalet. It's a whole volume on Chanukah. But I want to just introduce it with the Kli Yakar from this past week's parsha. Okay, the Kli Yakar on the famous words V'haya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz ufaratzta yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negva v'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama u'bizarecha. So the Kli Yakar quotes an amazing medrash, the Alkut Shimoni in Sefer Hosea. Listen to this quote. Ein ha-tshua bal Yisrael ki im bizman shehem betachlis ha-shiflis. I mean, this is the story of the Klosenberger Rebbe. Salvation only comes to the Jewish people when they hit rock bottom. Amazing quote, no? Ein ha-tshua bal Yisrael ki im bizman shehem betachlis ha-shiflis. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, which we'll see the Rebbe is going to quote in this piece. Ki shafa la'achar nafshenu, that we were bent down to the dust, to the dirt. Maksiv basre, what does it say afterwards? Kuma ezra salanu. So sometimes you have to get knocked down to a low place in order to lift yourself up. Vitam shel davar, says the Kli Yakar, you know why that is? Why does a Jew reach the highest heights after he hits rock bottom? It's true about probably all people on a certain level, but especially Klal Yisrael. Right? We've said in the past, the Gemara Megillah says in Daf Yudalid, we're compared to dirt, we're compared to stars. We can sometimes go to the lowest places, we can sometimes go to the highest places. So what exactly is being described here? And again, this is in the same breath of Haya Zaracha Ka'afar Ha'aretz. In the same breath that it says you're going to be like the dust of the earth, Ufaratzla, you're going to expand yourself in all directions. So says the Kli Yakar, the reason is Shekol Zman She'einan B'tachlas HaShiflis, because until a person experiences the ultimate lowliness, Az Einan Tolin B'tchonam B'Hashem. Kli Yakar says you're not really trusting Hashem. Because you still think, I can handle the situation, I can navigate the situation. When a person is rock bottom, he knows that the only one who can save him is Hashem. When a person's not yet in a low place, choshim tachbulos, li'natzel, mipach, yakush, person comes up with all sorts of tachbulos and strategies to try to save himself from being pulled under, so to speak. And because of that, lo bitchu chuas Hashem, he doesn't rely on the salvation of Hashem. Ach, says the Kli Yakar, kishiyiru ki ozla siyad hishtadlusam ve'ein ozer v'someich, when a person comes to the realization that no one can help me and all of my efforts are counterproductive, oz einayim nisuos el Hashem likro elav be'ez hatzar lahem l'Hashem shomea. Then in desperation you cry out to Hashem and Hashem listens. And that's going to be the point that we're going to learn in this mimer from the Klosenberger Rebbe about Hanukkah. That when a Jew calls out to Hashem, even from a lowly place, Hashem listens. Sometimes we feel bad. I feel like I turn to Hashem because I'm in trouble. Yes, you turn to Hashem when you're in trouble. It says a lot about your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uva'osa zman ha'tshua ba derech bricha min ha'katzeh la'katzeh. Dahainu, says the Kli Yakar, min tachlis ha'shiflus al tachlis ha'mala. From the ultimate lowliness to the ultimate high. That's the Kli Yakar and Parachav Ches, Pasuk Yedalin. And we're going to be like the Afar and then Ufaratza. We're going to expand in all directions. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Very nice. Very good. Things are going the wrong direction, right? Surrender to Hashem. It's a beautiful image. I'll send you flying car. It's a beautiful image. Rabbi Lubarsky Shlita. Beautiful. Okay, so let's learn this mimer from the Klosenberger Rebbe. Everyone has a copy? Anyone come in? This copy's over there. Copy's over here. Okay, good. Avi, you got one? Excellent. Okay, mimer Dalid in the Sefer Shefa Chaim on Chanukah. Okay, let's see how far we can get. We'll dive in. Lahavin lama b'mitzvah kedusha zu lo chay b'chachamim lahader achar psilos ushmanim meulim. The Rebbe comes out with a kasha. Why is it, we know from the Gemara, that when it comes to the wicks and the oil of Hanukkah, we don't require that it be of the highest caliber? Upsilos ushmanim sha'amru chachamim ein madlikin behen b'shabbos, and the very same wicks and oil that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, have you said b'meh madlikin ever in your life? B'meh madlikin u'b'meh ein madlikin. With what can you light, what can you not light? On Shabbos, we have halacha, what you're allowed to say, what you're allowed to use, what you're not allowed to use. Yeah? B'meh madlikin v'ein madlikin. Second paragraph of Shabbos. So why is it that the same chachamim who said that the wicks and the oil that you can't use on Shabbos, madlikin behen b'chanukah, you can use on Chanukah? First question. Second of all, says the Rabbi, v'naktim levar b'nusach ha'hodah. Let's talk about the nusach that we say on Chanukah. We say in our tefillos, v'ata b'rachamecha harabim amadta lehem be'isar asam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and your awesome mercy, you stood by our side at the time of our suffering, at the time of our tzaras. Shelechor svas yeser hu. It seems to be svas yeser, it seems to be excessive. Now, lo kvar muskar betchila kasha'om de malchus Yavan arasha. You already told me, when the enemies, when the evil empire of Yavan targeted us, when the evil empire of Yavan targeted us, so why does it have to say God stood by our side at a time of difficulty? Right, we just said. We just said the evil empire of Yavan was targeting us. So why does it have to say that Hashem provided for us at the time of our suffering? Of course, we know it's the time of our suffering. You said that already. Uvade eis sara haisal liyakov. There's no question that this is an eis sara liyakov. Why do you have to say it a second time? So the Rebbe says, he quotes a Maimar Chazal. V'nira dihine amru Chazal, the Gemara tells us, lama nimshalu Yisrael lizayis. Why are the Jewish people, I love this medrash, it's a very important Chanukah medrash, it's a very important life medrash. Why are the Jewish people compared to a zayis? In what way are we like an aleph? Lomer lecha, to teach us, to say to you, ma zayis eino motzi shmano ela al yedei ksisa. Just like the olive only brings out its best when it gets crushed, af Yisrael ein chozrin lemutav ela al yedei yisurin. Sometimes the Jewish people only really get their act together when they're going through a tough time. Like we were just learning in the Kli Yakar, right, that we're going to be compared. Hashem says you're going to be compared to the Afar Haaretz, which on the one hand is itself a bracha, that you're going to be as numerous as the dust of the earth, but you're also going to be stepped on. You're going to be trampled like the dust of the earth. Like the earth which has to be plowed in order to then be, you know, then to be filled with seeds, which will then produce produce. Right? But first the earth has to be tilled, the soil has to be plowed, which is rip up the earth in order to what? To then put a seed in the ground, which will then eventually grow. So to the Jewish people, we have to be crushed in order to grow. Uvakach nikar malas am Yisrael al kol ha'amim. And it's dafka in this way of how a Jew responds when he's going through a difficulty that in many ways sets the Jewish people apart. Asher yelchu ish b'shem Elohav b'zman shetov lahem. Because the nations of the world, everyone calls out to his God when things are good. But in a time of difficulty, many people what become angry at their God, whatever they believe, and their bowie. Bowie means to kick. They kick at whatever they hold to be holy. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "V'haya ki yirav," it'll be when you are hungered. V'iskatzaf, you'll become angered. V'kilel b'malcho u'v'elohav, and you'll curse at your king. You'll curse at your God. V'lo be'ela. Not in that way is the chelak of Yaakov. The afim kore shaboit meirov tova. The Jewish people, in an ironic way, are sometimes the opposite. When things are too good, we forget about Hashem. Right? We're sometimes boi, we rebel, right? When we become too successful. Aval biroso ki tsaraso. Tsarahu. But when a Jew is going through difficulty, think of the Purim story, think of the Hanukkah story, think of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, think of all the moments, the great turning points of Jewish history was when a Jew was knocked down to such a low place, and we finally screamed out to Hashem, Mimama Kim Kerasicha Hashem. Right? from that place he's misorer, and he's lefanos el aviv shasram. He turns himself towards Hashem. He directs himself towards Hashem. Kamosha amru, like it says, like the Ein Yaakov brings in the Gemara in Brachos. We don't actually have this line in our Gemaras, but the Ein Yaakov on Beseches Brachos brings this line. So maybe it was in some girsas of the Gemaras, the end of the second paragraph. It's a beautiful quote. Ganva apum mischarta rachmana kari. Anyone know what that means? Figure it out. Ganva apum mascharta machtarta. I'm sorry, machtarta rachmana kari. What's a ganva? A thief. What's the pum? Pum is pa. Right. So when he's at the mouth or the opening of the what? Of the machtarta. What's a baba machteris? Right. Tunnel. The ganav at the entrance of the tunnel, rachmana kare. As the robber is about to break into someone's house, what does he do? In the most ironic of ways, he says, Hashem, help me to be matzliach. Right? I'll give you a more relevant mashal that hopefully is not relevant at all. But if a college student's about to cheat on a test, he still davens to Hashem. Hashem, help me to do well on my test. Even though he knows he's doing the wrong thing in the same moment. Hashem, help me. So on the one hand, that's such a hypocritical thing. On the other hand, that's a very halig effect. By the way, I'll tell you a nice remez I thought of the other night. Right, what does it say? It says the Jewish people, the best of the Jewish people, emerge when what? When you crush the zayis, like a zayis which is crushed. So too, right, the best, the holiness, the greatness of the Jewish people emerged when you crush them with yisurin. So let's crush the zayis for a second. We crush the zayis.
Let's crush the zayis for a second. Let's see if it works. I hope it works. Let's see. Okay, this is zayis. Zayis is an olive. Right, we take out the inner essence of the olive, which we normally call oil. Right, but another way to take the inner essence of the olive is to zayin, yud, hav. So the middle letters, the inner essence of the zayis, you have a yud, you have a vav, and you have a yud, which is what? Which is 26. Right? So meaning there's a connection to a kadosh. When you crush the olive, that's when yud kei vav kei, that's when the relationship with the Hashem comes out. The other way to say it is that zayin sometimes is spelled with two yuds. I think the more traditional way is one yud. There's only one way to spell yud. If someone spells yud, like yud ayin dalet, then they're making stuff up. It's not a traditional way in Ramazan to spell the letter yud. Okay? Tav is sometimes spelled without the vav. Sorry, sometimes spelled just tav vav, but again, tav yud vav is I believe, the more traditional way. But if you spell zayin with two yuds, then what do you get? So you have two yuds and a vav and a yud, which is what? 36
instead of 26, that's 36. 36 in the arrows of Hanukkah, right? We light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 is 36 candles over the course of Hanukkah. Okay, so when you crush the zayis and you extract its pnimius, right? So that's where you get Hanukkah. That's where you reveal the elukus, the godliness within. Right? It's when a Jew returns to Hashem. When the olive is crushed, that's when his connection to Hashem reemerges. The Jewish people are compared to an olive. Okay? He quotes the Chassam Sofer at the bottom of the right-hand column on the first page. B'shut Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer and his Shailos and Tshuvos had a very interesting and very tragic question. Nishal al davar echad me'anche chai al hamelech be'eretz Yishmael shemeis bebote hachalam. There was a soldier in the somewhere in the Eretz Yishmael, somewhere in the lands of Yishmael, who died, was killed, must have been injured on the battlefield. He died in a hospital. And as they were preparing his body for burial, they found that he was what? That he was circumcised. Now, the Yishmaelim are also sometimes circumcised. However, it was indicative, it seemed, from other factors, that this person was not a Yishmaeli, right? And he was circumcised. So maybe he was a Jew. V'hinei nimtza lo to'eva tole lo b'tzavaro k'nohog etzol bale dasaro. And they found a little getchka, you know, a little necklace with an insignia, maybe a cross, hanging on his neck on this soldier, right, as is the practice of those who believe in that religion. So now I've got this circumcised soldier with a cross on his neck. Vinistapku ishapir dami lisasik vikfurasa. So they asked the Chassam Sofer, apparently, somehow it was brought to the attention of the Jewish community, and there was a possibility, I guess, of giving him a proper Jewish burial, but they weren't sure what's the story with this guy. Even if he's Jewish, but clearly he's adopted the Christian religion. So what should we do with him? So Chassam Sofer writes a gevaldic thing. It's in Yoredeya Simin Shin Mem Aleph. Chassam Sofer says, V'tshuvaso haramasa, in his lofty tshuva, his beautiful tshuva, writes the Chassam Sofer, D'karuv levadai sheshav hischaret kodemosa. It's almost karuv levadai. It means it's close to certain. That he did tshuva and he had regret before he passed away. Because everyone on their deathbed thinks about what matters most. And a person with a Jewish neshama, it doesn't matter how he lived his life, it doesn't matter what he believed in his lifetime. The pintel yid, the spark within the Jew, avada, says the Chassam Sofer. It's karov levada, it's almost certain that it reemerged in those last moments. Svar gadola yesh de samuch le misaso ber oso yado mata, when he saw that life was slipping away, pono lemala la lokea vosav, he turned his eyes heavenwards towards the God of his fathers. Ubeprat, and all the more so, ki rov hamumarim eina ma'amina ba'avodah zarah, rak lete avon ba'alma. And the truth is, most Jews who adopt an avodah zarah lifestyle, those who are mumar, those who are rebellious, they don't do it because they actually believe in the Christian faith or some other faith. They do it because, you know, it's tough to be a Jew. And in certain parts of the world, it's really tough to be a Jew. And maybe he put a cross on his neck for economic reasons. Maybe he met a nice non-Jewish girl in college. Whatever it is, he's not, abandoned his Yiddishkeit because he believes he found a better religion. He did it l'te'avon ba'alma. He did it for te'avon, for enjoyment. Uvishasha bitlu kol ta'avosav. And here he is on his deathbed where he no longer has any taivos, any desires. Samuch l'misaso v'yodeya sha'asid lamad l'din. And now he knows he's about to go back to his true creator, to Kutcha Brichu, chozer u'mescharit. It's very likely that he did tshuva. He probably had charata. Chassam Sofer therefore encourages us to treat him like a yid. We don't know. We don't know for sure. He's mal. I guess the signs indicate that from his mila that he's a yid. Right. The way Yishmael even does, again, he clearly wasn't a Muslim. And I guess he looked like a Christian. But his circumcision looked like a proper mila. Mila, priya. Okay, so says the Rebbe in the next paragraph. Mikan shekol echad mi Yisrael afilu kishenafel l'diota tachtona. So we see from here that every Jew, even if he falls to the lowest of places, adayin chavuya nitutz kadosh bekirbo, he still conceals or contains within him a holy spark. V'hi misoreres b'shas dachko, and it emerges in a time of pressure. V'az soek shema Yisrael, and he cries out shema Yisrael. That through the crushing, he brings out what? He brings out the beautiful, the sweet oil, right? The good oil within. Okay? Base. Vaposeach yad l'shavim mekabel gam tshuva kazos. So now you'll say, let's look at it from Hashem's perspective. Let's look at it from a human perspective. How would you feel if someone treated you horribly your whole life, and then in their final moments on earth, right? They called you up and they're like, oh, by the way, I just wanted to apologize for years and years and years and years of abuse. Right? No way. Where have you been all this time? All of a sudden, now you show up? Now you want to say sorry at the last minute so you can clear your mind? There's a story of a Nazi soldier who on his deathbed asked Simon Wiesenthal if he could forgive him for the horrible crimes that he committed. And he wasn't prepared to forgive him on behalf of the Jew. First of all, I can't forgive you on behalf of the people you killed. I'm not going to give you that yishuv hadas to die with a guilt-free conscience that at the last minute you decided to say sorry. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh on our face. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us, even if we come back to him, only because we're under tremendous pressure. And we're turning to Hashem because we're desperate. The one who opens his hand to those who return accepts even such a tshuva. Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not scorn, Hashem does not repulse by the enus ani, by the cries, by the by the petitions of the Ani. These are the words of David HaMelech in Kapitel Chaf Beis. When you turn to Hashem, He listens. He hears you. He doesn't laugh. Kedivrei HaPaitan, like we all said on Musaf on Yom Noram, I love this line. I can actually even hear the Chazin and our Shul saying this line. Va'ad yom moso techak elo. Until His dying day, Hashem waits longingly for you. Im yashuv miyad tekablo. And the tzaddikim talk about that word miyad. If He comes back, miyad immediately is accepted. It's not, well, let's talk about it first. If you come back crying to Hashem, even if you've been away for way too long, Hashem grabs you, He pulls you in, He gives you a big hug. That even if he only has a spiritual awakening on his deathbed, Hashem takes him back. In a similar fashion, we find about Menashe. Right? Menashe, who is one of the most wicked of kings, who is referred to as what? As the Rosh Labali Tshuva. The Zohar says, in some ways, he's the greatest Bal Tshuva. Ironically, Menashe has the same letters as Neshama. Menashe has the same letters as Neshama. Who would you say one of the greatest Balei Tshuvas of all time is? Who do you think of when you think of your heroes? Who? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. What's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva? Which is Rabbi Akiva and gematria? Sorry guys, it's Hanukkah time.
The numbers just, they come out on time.
If you like gematria, it's great. If you don't, I'm sorry, but
there's nothing I can do about it. What's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva?
212, how much is Akiva? So interesting, the Zohar calls Menashe, which has the same gematria as Rabbi Akiva, right? Same letters as the Shama, interestingly enough. Also the same letters as Shmona, right? That has a lot to do with it. And Mishnah also has a lot to do with Hanukkah, Torah Shabbat Peh. Yeah. So it's interesting that Menashe, the wicked king Menashe, is referred to as the Rosh Labali Tshuva, same gematria as Rabbi Akiva, who in our mind is a real success story. Rabbi Akiva went from the lowest to the highest. Mamish, a person who judged himself by his neshama, he found the spark within. But Menashe, who in the end is a Rasha, a very evil king, and yet Menashe also teaches us a tremendous lesson about tshuva. When the enemies took him and they placed him in a copper furnace, a copper pot, and they lit the fire under him, turn the page. And he started calling out to every Avodah Zarah. And he saw that his Avodah Zarah is not going to help him. So as a last resort, who did he turn to? You know what? I remember when I was a kid, I used to be Jewish. You Russia. Now you went through all your Avodah Zarah, they didn't help you. Now you turn to Kevin Shalom Hoi Lo Klum V'Rosh Etzaras Osar. When he saw he was in big trouble, he's cooking in the pot. Omar Zachor Ani Shaya Avi Mikra Osias Apasuk Hazev Beisakadesis. You know what? When I was a kid, I remember there was a verse. I'm just recalling now. There was a verse in the Bible that my father used to recite with me when he would drag me to synagogue as a kid. What was the pasuk? Bitzar lecha u'mitzaucha kol edvar ma'ela. When you go through all of these difficulties, ba'achres hayamim, v'shavta ad Hashem lekecha, you should return to Hashem your God. So you know what? Maybe I'll say that verse. I tried everything else. What do I have to lose? I'm a dead man anyways. Harei ani korei oso im ona osi mutav v'im lav nu hakol ape shavin. If they answer me, if God... You know, if this works, if the Jewish God responds, then good. And if not, then call Api Shav, and then all facets, all faces are equal. Meaning, then all religions are a bunch of baloney. So I might as well try this. And he cried out from a place of pain. A renegade of a renegade Jew. V'hayu malachei asharis mistamin eschalonos shalotalit filaso shamanasha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels in Shemayim were slamming the windows shut. For those of us who learned in the Grush here last week, we learned about, right, the windows of prayer. They started slamming the windows shut, that the tefillah Menashe should not come before Hashem. Amar lahen, im eini mekavlo b'tshuva harei ani noel asadelas b'vnei kol b'alei tshuva. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm opening the doors. I'm opening the windows. I'm letting the tefillos in. May also HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fighting the angels to let go of the lock in the windows. So you know what Hashem does? Hashem whispers to Menashe, psst, psst, come this way. He sneaks him in through a back tunnel. Chaser lo chasira mitachas kisei hakavod. He dug a hole under the kisei hakavod. He dug a tunnel under the kisei hakavod. He let his tefillah slip in. The wicked king Menashe, right, that even he had an neshama. It's Manasseh's name. Same letters as his name. Right. That's the story as told by the Yerushalmi, by the Medrash. How Menashe, even the wicked Menashe's tefillah, from a place of utter desperation, after he had cried out to every Avodah Zarah and it didn't work, Hashem was still makabel the tefillah. It's unbelievable. V'chein b'tkufos shonos b'imei ha-shoftim b'malchei Yisrael. We see so many examples of what? Where the Jewish people were mamish rock bottom, and they cry out to Hashem, and Hashem brings Yeshua. Matzinu kishachatu Yisrael v'nimsu b'yatzo reyem zoku el Hashem b'tzar lehem. We cried out to Hashem from a place of pain, and Hashem responded to our tefillos. Valdech. You should never think that it's out of reach. Says the Rebbe, where was the first time this happened? He writes in the next paragraph, Mireishus kazos v'da'anu be'eretz Mitzrayim. You know where we learned this? We learned this in Mitzrayim. It's actually a very sad read on the pasuk, but it's a big chizuk for us to know that Hashem is always ready to respond if we cry out. What does the pasuk say? Vayeanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayizaku. B'nei Yisrael cried out from the hard work, and they screamed. Vata'al shavasam elokim min ha'avoda. And their voices ascended to the heavens. What voices? The voices from their work, from their pain of their work. Klomar, says the Rebbe, why does the pasuk say min ha'avoda twice? What were they crying? Were they crying because they came to the realization that they love Hashem? No. They were crying because they were just utterly overwhelmed min ha'avoda, from the work. They weren't turning to God in a sincere way. They were just in a lot of pain. They said, Hashem, can you just like, you know, if you're out there, we're not really ready to like have a real relationship with you, but if you don't mind, if you could just make it a little easier for us. It was min ha'avoda. Klomar, af shezeh ha'yirak min ha'avoda. Despite the fact that their whole cry was just min ha'avoda. Nonetheless, afilu hachi chaser chasira mitachas kisei kvodo, va'olsa shava sam elokim. Hashem once again dug a tunnel under the kisei ha'kavod. And Hashem answered their cries. Al-Kain Amar Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, therefore David HaMelech says, Shir ha'malos el Hashem b'tzarasa li karasi ve'aneni. Hashem, when I cry out to you in pain, you answer me. Even though it's what? B'tzarasa li karasi. Even though I only called you, I only acknowledged you when I was desperate. You know how hurtful that is? When all of a sudden, now you need a favor, now you call me up, all of a sudden, now we're best friends again. Now you remember me, because now you need a favor from me. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, B'tfila la'ani kiyatov, u'levnei Hashem yishvoch sichov. You cry out to Hashem from a place of desperation. B'chol zos, the pasuk says, v'ya'aneini. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, the afsha amru la'olam yaktam adam tefillah litzara, even though you're supposed to daven not only in a time when you're in pain, nonetheless, mikol makom yancha Hashem biyom tzara. Hashem responds at a time of pain. That's an amazing thing about the Jewish people, that we don't abandon Hashem in our time of pain, that we know that we're in trouble, we turn to Hashem. That's a chashuv thing. I've been davening for something very mundane recently. Something very, very mundane. And every time I start to daven for this, I feel a little embarrassed. Like, why am I... This is what tefillah is. Tefillah is a time to... Why don't I daven from where you are, Shemayim? Why don't I daven to know Shas one day? Why don't I daven to be a better Rebbe? Be a better husband? To be a better father? Why don't I daven for... I also daven for those things. Right? But this particular thing's been on my mind a little bit. So why am I davening? And then I say, you know what, Moshe Tzvi? It's really chashuv that you know that this thing has nothing to do with anything in Olam Hazeh. It has entirely to do with Hashem. That's a chashuv tefillah. The fact that you're talking to Hashem about this means you believe Hashem is the one who has the answer to this. And only Hashem. Right? So on the one hand, you're like, I'm bothering Hashem with such, you know, petty Olam Hazeh requests. But what you're saying is, I also know, okay, I should probably show up more and ask for more important things also. But the fact that I know you're the address for my pain, even if it's gashmias, that's a chashuv thing. That's a very chashuv thing. Says the Rebbe, the top of the left column, V'cheinu omer esa einai el harim ayin yavo ezri. V'oz b'rosi ki efsa kol tikva. When I'm out of hope, ani pona l'shamayim uvakim ezraso mikodesh. I turn to Hashem, and I say what? Ezri me'im Hashem, oza shamayim varet. I know only Hashem can save me. I lift my head to the heavens. So now let's go back to answer the Rebbe's question. What was the Rebbe's second question? The Rebbe's second question was, why does it say, in the time when the Avanim came against the Jewish people, Hashem, you responded to us be'es tzarasam in the time of our pain. You already told me it was the time of our pain. What it's highlighting is that many Jews, right, they only returned to Hashem because they were in pain. They weren't. It was even less so than Purim. See, Purim, at least there was like a tshuva revolution. Here, there was a lot of uncertainty, and Jews who had really adopted a very Yavani, right, the Misyavnim, who had adopted a very, you know, Syrian Greek lifestyle, whatever that means, right, we're realizing we're a little bit in trouble since we're actually Jews. So they turned to Hashem, be'esarasam. They called out to Hashem in desperation. And you might think Hashem should say, get lost. That's not an honest tefillah. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say that. Says the Rebbe, continuing in Os Gimel, Al-Kain, Al-Azeh, Kavanas Omarnu, this is what it means, Va'ata barachamecha harabim amata lahem be'esarasam. Da'af shetchila nimshchu achrei hayavanim v'nasu misyavnim. Even though we began our path towards losing our Jewish identity, but kir osam derech hasham tzolcha, when they saw the wicked being successful, they joined in with the yavanim. Ve'ele reshaim v'shal ve'ha'olam hisigu chayil nisarvu bagayim v'yilm d'maseim. They started to mix in with everything secular, everything Greek. But when the push comes to shove, they grabbed onto the what? The umnus. They grabbed onto the legacy. They grabbed onto the tools of their avos, which is tefillah. And yet, in that moment when we cried out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you responded to us. You didn't laugh in our face. Go to the bottom paragraph on page Vav. Hu sheramzu b'divrayim. So what was our first question? Why does Hashem accept on Chanukah wicks and oil that are so imperfect? Shabbos, we need good stuff. But Madlikin of Ma'im Madlikin. You can't just use whatever you want. You gotta use nice candles, nice oil. But on Chanukah, the psilos and shmanim, the wicks, the oil that's usually not so acceptable for Shabbos, is acceptable. Why? Hu sheramzu b'divrayim. Psilos ushmanim she'ein madlikin behen b'Shabbos. The wicks and the oil that you can't use on Shabbos. What's a lomar? Damnam einu mala or be'es oneg v'simcha. Shabbos is a time where things are good. So the types of wicks that you wouldn't allow at that time. Kasher tzvachin af aksin b'teilun u'shvisim. He's quoting from the tefillos of Shabbos. When the midas hadin is removed from us. And the enemies are, you know, we're protected from Hashem on Shabbos. It's a good time on Shabbos. At a time where we draw the bracha from above and below. Turn to the third page, page Zion. So those, the Shabbos experience is a very chashuv, elevated experience. You can't use cheap wicks. Aval madlikin ben b'chanukah, but you can use those wicks on Chanukah. B'tkufa shel choshech al panei sahom. In the dark times, and you throw out a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a little broken tefillah, Hashem says, I take it. I'll take it. Azheim nid lakim laheir ur. Hashem accepts at that time. V'lachein va'ata brachamecha harabim amadta lahem be'es sarasam. That's why the tefillah highlights again. We only cried out because it was es sarasam, and nonetheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was responsive. Kadosh Baruch Hu listened and took us seriously. Alkein amru. So says the Rebbe, let me show you many other. Very quickly, let me show you some other halachos of Chanukah that reflect this idea that when a Jew cries out to Hashem, even if it's out of desperation, Hashem doesn't laugh in his face. Al-Kain Amru Shetehei Ner Chanukah Mismol U'Mizuzah Miyamin. What's the imagery? The mezuzah on the right side of the door. The Ner Chanukah on the left side of the door. Shekein HaTzadikim Heim Begeder L'mayminim Ba Va'Ovir Maldas Heim Begeder L'masmi'ilim Ba. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that people who cling to Hashem are people who, so to speak, go towards the right. People who deviate from Hashem are those who gravitate towards the left. I'm not saying this is a political stance, although it might be also. Might be also. Leiv chacham liyamino. Leiv chacham goes to the right. Veleiv ksil nismolo. Right? And the heart of the fool goes to the left. Right and left. Right? Midas achased, midas adin. So why do I put the menorah on the left? Because the menorah says that even the Jew who's all the way on the left, even the Jew who's what? Who's deviated from Hashem, who's gone to the left, which is the side of the Sitra Achra, the Etahara, so to speak. The fool who walks in darkness. As again, Kohelet says, the fool goes to the left. Whatever that means, why right and left? Whatever that means. Those who go to the left, v'rak kishumida sadin pogasbo, and now he's feeling the sort of the retribution of the left, because left is midas adin. And now all of a sudden he tries to light up his life from a place of suffering. And Hashem says, Chanukah, I accept you. I'll meet you there. When the midas adin is pogasbo, kadainen dinin sharyan ba'alma misitra desmola. When midas adin is sharyan, is present in the alma, in the world, misitra desmola, from the left side, as the Zohar says, ozu misorer. And now he tries to what? To light his little wick, uba lahadlik ner Chanukah, umikol makom af hu roy lechesed Hashem b'shmiraso al yedei hamezuzah shemiyamin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, light that menorah on the left, opposite the mezuzah, that protection of Hashem on the right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm a kavli, I accept you. I don't laugh at you. I accept your tefillah from a place of brokenness, even though you're coming from, you know, the far left, so to speak. Furthermore, this is why we place the menorah where? Outside. We're talking about a Jew who's an outsider. He's not a pnimi, he's not an inside Jew. He's an outsider. L'ramez d'amnam k'sheyoshe b'shalva b'soch o'alo hayetzirat taivos ma'avim v'so al-daito v'al-daskono. When he's inside, when he has a nice house, and life is good, right? Now he's a big shot. He thinks he's chashuv. I don't need God. I don't need God's help. I'm the head of a hedge fund. What do I need God for? Which part of my career trajectory requires God at this point? So he lives a life of taiva and yetzahara. He feels that he's got it covered. Now all of a sudden, he's out on the streets. Lo'aleinu, he lost his home. He lost his job. He lost his wealth. He's mamish out on the streets. He's mibachutz. And he's looking for a little inspiration. He's looking for a little light. Now he's standing outside and it's cold and he's just trying to warm up. All of a sudden now he thinks back, he's like, you know what, maybe there's more to life than driving a nice car, having a big house. And he returns to the world of Ner Mitzvah Torah Or, Mibachutz, Vaz Omi the Madlik Neros, he lights the menorah. And he says the Mizmori Tehillim by his menorah. And Hashem says, I'm a Kabbalah, I'll take it. Hashem does not laugh at him. Hashem accepts it with great love, with beauty. And he says, and this perhaps explains the Chassidish Minhag. Anyone ever see this Minhag? You know about this? I feel like it got popular the last couple of years on like Yeshiva World Hanukkah time. They always post videos of it. And they throw towels. You know about the throwing of towels? Anyone know about this? No one knows about this? You've seen it before, no? They throw towels at the guy who lights the menorah in shul. Look at this. He writes in the next paragraph. I saw by the Baal Atzei Chaim. I saw by my father. I saw a minhag by Chassidim. That the children throw worn out rags. They throw rags at the person who lights the menorah in shul. This is a very strange minhag. Very dangerous minhag. Yeah. Let's throw flammable substances at the guy who's got a candle in his hand. Yeah? What's the pshat? A funny thing. The kids throw a little pieces of rags at the guy. Oh, what's that about? Shamuchuvin laharos. What we're hinting to is the hagam shebe'es shalom v'shalva halach sholel ba'atzas yitzro ha'marchiv daito l'tuma. That when a person again has shalom and shalva and everything's good in the Yitzhara, it's causing me to make bad choices because I feel like I'm on top of the world. I don't need God in my life. I don't need his help. The einum is over lakayim a mitzvah, el b'shashu mudachu mushvo. And you only, oh, look who's showing up to do a mitzvah now. He's showing up with his rags. Right? He's showing up with the dirty shmatas. And now that he's desperate, he comes back to shul all of a sudden. He wants a little illumination of his life. Kasher b'snaplim alav mikol eivir upina. Right? Now he's under attack from all sides. They're throwing dirt at him, throwing rags at him. And now all of a sudden he's trying to reconnect to God. He's trying to narrow mitzvah Torah. He's standing there trying to light the menorah. B'chol zos hua ola l'rachmim u'l'ratzim l'fnei adon kol. But I can assure you that anyone who ever got rags thrown at him, right, eventually he's still zochet to light the menorah. So what we're saying is that even when you're, you know, down in the dumps, you're wearing the rags, people are throwing dirty towels at you, right, you should know that just keep pushing, you'll find that illumination. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be makabel you. When do we light the menorah, says the Rebbe? V'zmana mishatishka achama, we light the menorah, what? As the sun is setting. L'ramez kibizman sh'ur lo k'shemesh sa'arayim hu shokheach es Hashem. When the sun is shining bright and everything is good, you forget about God. But when the sun starts to set, when life starts to slip away, or your financial success takes a turn for the worse, right? Or your shalom bayis is falling apart, B'bias HaShemesh, when the sun starts to set, K'shachoyshech mechas ha'aretz, the darkness descends on the world. V'ragla d'tarmodoy. What does the Gemara say? Achetich l'regla menashuch. The time that what? The time that the tarmodoy are leaving the marketplace. They were the last ones to leave the marketplace. The tarmodoy, the Gemara in Yevamos says, is an umam mirashas. It's an evil people. Gemara has some not nice things to say about them in Yevamos. And nonetheless, right? At that time, where so to speak, the bad guys are roaming the streets, and it's getting dark, and life's getting scary, and all of a sudden you come back to Hashem and you're like, oh, I decided I want to light a menorah. I want a little more illumination, a little more ner mitzvah Torah or in my life. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, good. So that's the time. That's when you want to show up to light your menorah? Not a problem. Show up then to light your menorah? Not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. Says the Rebbe, next paragraph, on page Zion, the second paragraph in the left column. This is also the reason we place the menorah in a low place, right? Within 10 tefachim of the ground. And he takes us back to that pasuk that we quoted at the beginning of the shiur in the Kli Yakar, David HaMelech and Tehillim Mem Dalid. That at least you do a mitzvah when you're what? When you're in a low place. Our souls are what? Are bent to the ground. Dovka la'aretz bitneinu. Our stomachs are on the floor. Right? When you're down and out on the floor, you're sprawled out on the floor, and from dafka, that place, you light your little menorah, Hashem says, I'm a kaplan. I love it. V'yavur b'zeh smichos shnei ha-ma'amarim shavitanchum. And now we understand something more, says the Rabbi. Okay, just going through Shabbos, Chav Alef, Chav Beis. Now we understand Rabbi Tanchum's two statements. What are Rabbi Tanchum's two statements? He teaches us where to put the menorah, and then he has his famous statement of what? Habor reik ein bo mayim. When Yosef Itzalik was put into the pit. What does that have to do with Chanukah? How did that end up in the Chanukah sugya? The Pashut Pshat is it's both statements of Rabbi Tanchum. But it says the Rebbe, Yesh Lomar, Sha'af Ruvein Lezen Iskavein. What did the brothers hold about Yosef? They held that he was a bad guy. They held he was a Rasha. The MS, it wasn't just kinna, it wasn't just pure jealousy. The brothers held that Yosef Atzadik was out of line. And they felt that he was Chayav Misa. But Reuven had an idea. Reuven said, what if we put him in a place that's rock bottom? Maybe he'll do tshuva. Let's put him in a pit. Says the Rebbe, Reuven's kavana was, when he was Hishlach as Yosef El Abur, and he put Yosef Atzadik into that pit, Leman Hatzilo Mialim, to save him. To save Yosef. How would that save Yosef? Pit of snakes and scorpions, he's a dead man. The ideal was, let's bring Yosef, who's a little bit too confident, at least the way the brothers perceived it, let's put him in a low place. Because when a Jew goes to a low place, he always does tshuva. Kilufi daito, chata b'yosef ha-matzav shal ben zekunim v'avi l'ahevo. They felt that Yosef, again, was a sinner. Aval kishiei b'bur tachtis. As long as he's got the love of his father, he's the ben zekunim, he sits by his father's side, that's why he's out of control. Let's let him feel a little shiftless. Put him in a low place. Bring him kafir haaretz. And then let's see what he looks like. When you put him in the pit, when he's bebur tachtios, bevada yisor alachzer b'tshuva, va'oz yatzileu Hashem, and then Hashem will save him. So Reuven actually had a very secretive plan in order to help Yosef to do tshuva. Oh, so now we understand a medrash. A gevaldik medrash. You see it quoted in a lot of Chanukah svarim. It's a mysterious medrash. What we call a medrash pliya. A wondrous measure. It doesn't make sense. B'derech HaPshat. This we understand the Medrash Pliya. The Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach. It's past week's Parsha, right? The flowers, the Dudaim, that Rachel got from Leah. Hadudaim Nasnu Reach. It's a Pasuk in Shir Hashirim Perek Zayin. The Dudaim gave off a scent. This refers to Reuven, Shehitzel Es Yosef Min Habor. This refers to Reuven who saved Yosef from the pit. What do you mean, he saved Yosef from the pit? First of all, Yosef got pulled out of the pit and was sold to Mitzrayim. Right? It seems like the plan failed. It says there, no, he saved Yosef min habor. The pit itself was the salvation. Why? Hainu, shal yidei hashlachaso labor, niskavin latzilo. It wasn't he put him in the pit to then come back later to save him. Just a safe holding so his brothers shouldn't put a bullet in his head. Reuven felt that if he goes to a place of what? Of embarrassment, of bittul, he'll come back. Mimamakim krasicha Hashem, and Yosef will be chozer b'tshuva. So mikan shegam akori mitoch shas adchak, right? Mizgav liitos b'tzara ona la'amu Yisrael be'is shavam elav. Hakadosh Baruch Hu becomes a source of support for one who cries out in the time of pain. But chaver, what's the medrash pliya? Medrash pliya is the end of that medrash, because what's the entire pasuk say in Shir Hashirim? Hadudaim nasnu reyach. This refers to Reuven who saved Yosef. Va'al pisachenu. Look at the end of the paragraph. Va'al pisachenu kol megadim. And there are delightful things by the Pesach, by the entrance. Zener Chanukah. What? What does Reuven have to do? What does Reuven saving Yosef from the pit have to do with Ner Chanukah? It's a Medrash Pliya. Everyone's trying to figure out this Medrash. Hadudaim nasnu reyach refers to what? Refers to Reuven saving Yosef. Val Pisachenu kol Megadim refers to Ner Chanukah. What's the connection between Reuven and Ner Chanukah? What's the connection between Reuven saving Yosef min Habor and Ner Chanukah? It says the Halig of Klozim Megareva, Zechir Tzadik v'Kadosh L'Vracha. He says it makes perfect sense. Reuven put Yosef in the pit to put him in a place of shiflus, of humility, which would awaken his tshuva. So therefore, that's exactly what Chanukah is. Chanukah is when a Jew is in a dark, in a low place, and he does tshuva, and Hashem responds. Hashem doesn't make fun of him. Hashem believes in that tshuva. However, Chanukah is a big zman of tshuva. It's a big, big zman of tshuva. Zos Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah, all the tzaddikim say is really the Gemara Chasima. It's the last, it's really the end of the Yom Noran. We'll talk more about it when we get closer to Zos Chanukah. But the whole Chanukah is really a zman of tshuva. We don't think of it that way, but it's a zman of tshuva. And it's dafka tshuva from a low place. That's right. Ashi points out a famous remez that on Chanukah none of us light neri shubeso. Anyone do neri shubeso? Mahadrin. No one does mahadrin. We all do mahadrin min a mahadrin. What's mahadrin min a mahadrin? Mahadrin mahadrin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We all light the menorah that way. Right, so Ashi is reminding us that the gematria of mahadrin min a mahadrin is tshuva, because on Chanukah every Jew's Mahajim and Mahajim. 7:13. Mahajim and Mahajim is Gematria Tshuva. Right? And what does the word even mean, Mahajim? What does Mehader mean? What has the Gemara used the word Hadar? Hadar Bey. It means to go back. So Mahajim and Mahajim means to do Tshuva on your Tshuva. Mahajim, Mina Mahajim. I already did Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I do Tshuva again? Yeah, I'm going to do a little more Tshuva. Oh, that's awesome. And that's the secret tunnel that we're digging on Chanukah. Can I tell you one more gematria? Let's see if we can work it out. One more remez from Rav Shimshon Miastropoli. Died on Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara says, Mesechus Yoma, that so great is tshuva that it reaches on Kisei HaKavod. And we learned the Talmud Yerushalmi said that Hadid Menashe, when all the angels were locking the windows, how did his tshuva at the last minute count? How did it work? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu dug a tunnel, secret tunnel, right under the Kisei HaKavod, right to the Kisei HaKavod. So the Gemara Maseches Yoma says, great is tshuva, gedoyla tshuva, shemagas ad Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva is amazing, it reaches all the way, right? It keeps pushing and pushing and pushing until it reaches all the way, ad Kisei HaKavod. Okay, let's see if I remember how this Rambam goes. It's from Rav Shimshon Miastropoli. He was killed in a massacre. Murdered with talus and tefillin on his head, along with 300 other Jews in his shul. So Rav Shimshon Miastropoli says, you do like this. Kisei HaKavod. He says, there's a concept in Gematria
right? Where you keep adding a little bit more. That's sort of what tshuva is. Tshuva is this process of like, go a little further, go a little further, go a little further. So he says like this. He said a couple. So you take a chaf. And then you take a chaf samach. And then you take a chaf samach aleph. See what we're doing? And then you take a chaf samach aleph head. He say a kaf. He say a kaf. He say a kavo. And then eventually, kisei ha-ka-vo.
Keep adding letter, chaf. And chaf samach. And chaf samach aleph. And chaf samach aleph hey. Until you get all the way, gedol tshuva, greatest tshuva, that it reaches all the way ad kisei ha-kavur. So let's add it up now. So what do you have?
20. Someone got a calculator? 20. That's 80. That's 81. That's 80. 6 plus what?
106.
106.
108.
114. Please, I shall make this work.
118.
What I messed up? 118?
Yeah.
118.
713.
713. No, 713 is Gematria Tshuva. So greatest tshuva that it reaches all the way ad kisei hakavod.
Tshuva reaches all the way to kisei hakavod, step by step. Even a wicked person like Menashe finds his way. He digs a hole under the kisei hakavod to find his way back in tshuva. He said, "Kavod is true." Okay, says the Rebbe. Turn to the last paragraph. Mikol Makom. The Rebbe ends actually on a very, very harif note, because the Rebbe was a fierce person, and it's important that we read this last paragraph. Mikol Makom lo nitaknu yamim elu liyamei mishta v'simcha. Chanukah is not, even though we forbang a lot on Chanukah, but Chanukah is not really a mishta v'simcha. That's pur. Chanukah is what lahodu sulahala. Because tshuva requires humility. That's what we're learning here. We're turning to Hashem from a broken place. So Chanukah is not really about, you know, enjoying, delighting in mishta v'simcha. The simcha maza osa kesheino osa tshuva kahogan. Because what good is simcha when a person what is an avarim, when a person's a sinner, when a person needs to do a tshuva? Yeah. If you haven't done a proper tshuva, what right do I have to be fressing on jelly donuts? Right. Okay. Well, we're gonna fress on jelly donuts also. Good, part of the avoda also. Right, but the Rebbe's saying, let's be honest for a second here. If Chanukah is where we put our dirty rag, so to speak, while we're lighting the menorah, that interesting minute we just learned about, so then we have to have the humility. Go to the last page. Rakaganva apum machtarta, right? We're like that ganav at the entrance to the tunnel. We're that ganav at the entrance to the tunnel. The adraba roy leshe betanis v'sigufim. Really, we should be fasting and afflicting ourselves because of our sins. We quote from a very interesting book called Seder Hayom. Interesting, very interesting sefer. I have it at home. Quotes very interesting things. If a Baal Tshuva was truly mindful of the weightiness of our sins, then he should fast even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now you want more simcha, more yom tov. How about a little seriousness? He says, "She simcha gadol of yaser lenafsho ha'aluva aguma." We have to come clean. We got to pay up. And therefore, Chanukah, because it's such an important time of tshuva, the essence of what these days are lo netaknu el lahodos ulahalel. They're days of saying thank you, Hashem, of admitting before Hashem my shortcomings and praising Hashem l'shimcha gadol. Hashem, you're so generous with me. The afsham alachim. That even though the angels said, don't take their tshuva, and the angels locked the doors, right? Well, the Amchi Yisrael, the Sisa Tshuva Gadol, Porkan Kayom Azeh. Because Baruch, you brought us Yeshua, nonetheless. Okay, so Chavir, we should be Zoche, first of all, A, to take advantage of these days of tshuva that are upon us, but also to really believe it for ourselves and for everyone around us. To believe that we shouldn't be embarrassed. When a Jew comes back to Hashem, maybe we should be embarrassed we didn't come back sooner, but that's not a reason not to come back to Hashem. Hashem always wants to be Makabal Aspet Tshuva. And if you show up from an outside and you show up in a low place and they're throwing rags at you, and your mamish in a boar tachtis, like Yosef Atzadik, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu still wants you from such a place. Yeah. Shuvah is a mitzvah every day.
Not even every day, every second.
Constant recreation. So why not start over every second? Yeah, Rav Nachman was big on that. Yeah, Danny, what do you want to say?
So hopefully this one works.
That's it.
But you said that Yosef in the was because like Sam could be connected to Chanukah. So we know that the ideal spot to light the menorah is 10 Tefachim. That spot. So
okay.
The mockery of Yosef with the follow is Yud Tefachim.
Yud
156
is Yosef. Yosef 156, right? Yud, letter Yud? Or letter Yud Tfachim is also 156.
It's 157, but
the Kol Alma. It's 157. Very nice. 156, 157, those are good Chanukah numbers. Those are good Chanukah numbers. Yes, Avi?
I don't know if this is a stretch, but he did the same thing he did with Zayas with Shemen. I think he also did 26.
Yeah. If you do the same thing that we did with Zayas with Shem.
But you have to spell Mem with the Yiddish.
I'm out. No deal.
No deal. Never saw it. Never saw that spelling. I'm a stickler for these things because people sometimes, I think we undermine, if we don't play by the Masorah, we start making up our own rules, saying our own phrases in Gematria, that's not what Gematria is. So I don't think we ever spell Mem Yud Mem. Although in today's Daf Yomi, Mem Yud Mem plays an important role. But no, that's mine. I don't think we spell Mem that way. Mem, yeah, I don't think so. If you could show me an early Sefer, a Tzadik who does that, then I'll be Makala. Yes. But I'm happy you're thinking about it. I'm happy you're trying. You should believe in your own Torah.
Just two thoughts. So, on the points also with Reuven and Yosef.
Yeah.
Well, more on the Yosef part. That he eventually does go to, like, the place of darkness when he goes to Mitzrayim and he gets put in jail. And then God
is there. That's right. The jail is also a pit. Yeah. All right. Yosef to rise to power is Imam Akim. Becomes Mishnah Lemelech. Mishnah, same letters as Menashe, Neshama, Rabbi Akiva, yeah.
I think also that goes, you can play on that a little bit, that like it didn't really need Reuven, because Reuven kind of put him there, but like if you're saying that the Ishmaelim, like kind of, like the whole thing of this different groups that like, maybe the brothers didn't even know that he was taken out. He was kind of just gone. So that Reuven really didn't have any like peace in the journey from Yosef to like go down to Mitzrayim and go down to the darkness in jail and come back afterwards. Then I think that then lends to like how Reuven kind of like there's, I think Rashi says that Reuven did the faith and then he like goes back kind of to tell Yaakov a bit. So,
Reuven was a Baal Teshuva, yeah. Reuven himself was a big Baal Teshuva.
And then also with the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos mantra with each step, that it only works if you add all the things together. So like
each piece
is important. That like even the first step of Kaf is.
Right. I mean, it's not just the last step that gets you to Kisei Kavod, but you need that first tiny little, that first little step, otherwise you never would have gotten there. That's very nice also. It's a nice lesson in this, right? Step-by-step process and the appreciation of each little step adding up to the success. Very nice. Yes, Avi?
Is that related to, like, the non-dot?
Could be. Yeah. I believe so. Part of that idea. Whatever that idea is in Gematria, but it's the same Yesod, where I'm adding a letter each step of the way. Yeah.